thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of this community coming together. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of this broadcast sitting with me. Actually, not really. On the other side of this microphone, we're probably about 450 miles apart. We got Kevin down in Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir. I wish I was sitting there. It works out a little easier, but yeah, I'm just thankful to be here, man.
Well, you know, you're able to look at each, it's special when you can play off each other's looks and stuff. You know, you can you can give somebody, hey, I got something there. Oh, yeah, go ahead and keep on going. And so it's really important that we get to know each other. And I think, you know, back in the beginning, Stephanie and I had that going on the phone where we were used to each other, and definitely Kevin and I have it now. But there are still times, like there was back in the beginning, where we have some messes up. So if you ever hear a recording and you hear me talking away at 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden I say something stupid, we messed up and cut something out of there. Just don't worry about it. And, but, you know, we want to talk about joy today. And, you know, we're talking about talents, gifts, all these things God's given us. End times, we should be joyful knowing that we're in eschatological times or end times, and we're looking at eschatology, we're looking at the life of Christ. And I love this verse. This verse is kind of the ministry verse. It's Romans 15, 13. It's our ministry verse with wounded spirits. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so now the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace. Your joy and peace comes from God. You know, we look for it in all the wrong places, friends. We look for it in our kids. We look for it in, you know, our jobs and our spouses and all that things. And God says, get this perspective right. The perspective is joy comes from me. Peace comes from me, and everybody gets to have it. You get to pass it on to your family. You get to share God's word. My brethren, I was talking to a lady in church up in Virginia, and I mentioned some of the things, you know, her husband got saved, and they would have a verse at the table every night at the supper table. When her husband wasn't saved, he submitted to that verse. You know, they would read the verse and talk about it before they scooped into the spaghetti. And that every day the wife would pull out a Bible verse. And because joy comes from God, God's word, it never returns void. You know, over in James 1, 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into trials, count it joy. You know, we got to understand what joy is. Joy is doing God's will. Joy is using your resources for God. Joy is being a watchman, being ready. Joy is looking for God. Joy is all those things put together. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians 5, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And I mean, that all comes from God. But, you know, some people look at things. I remember my one son, Daniel, the greatest young man you ever met in your life, joyful guy, happy. We love him so much. But he was younger. I remember one time we gave the kids $100 instead of getting them gifts. We're in Germany, and they're like, Dad, you're going to mess up a gift or something. And we said, you know what? We got some money this year, and getting ready to get out of the army. Probably going to have no money next year. So you both got $100 to spend on your Christmas gift. And Doug's like, yeah. And Daniel's like, man, but I got no money for the taxes. The gift I want. So it's all in how you look at things, friends.
Brother.
And of course, we helped them with the taxes. So having that joy, having that merry heart, it doeth good like a medicine, Kevin. But a broken spirit can dryeth up your bones. So you want joy. Choose joy. Have an entrance of joy in your life.
Yeah, the entrance to joy is something that only God can really provide, because Satan's the antithesis of God. He wants to bait you into a temporary pleasure for a season, like it says in Hebrews, that's what sin gives. And then God gives a permanent, you know, it's a temporary loss sometimes, but there's a permanent gain. And, you know, I was counseling someone a couple days ago, And this individual, it was done through texting. It was a female. And she said, you know, a lot of my traumas in the past, I have short-circuited the answer that was being given by God by kind of taking it upon myself, by trying to work it out myself. And I how many times we've done that? I think all of us have done that. We short out the power that's coming from God. But, you know, there's those times, and we want to make them more frequent, that God makes us to have an entrance to joy. He just opens the door and says, come on, quick. I don't know. I can think of times where I'd, you know, walk in a new place, like school, on the first day at the when I got to middle school. It was called junior high. It was seventh grade, actually, and I got into it. There was a middle school there, but it was a junior high when I got there. First day in this new place. There's my brother. He's my older bro, and he's a couple years ahead of me, and everything's just so weird and new. And you're just walking down the hallway, you know, where do we even go for this function, you know, that everyone's supposed to show up at? Where's the assembly hall? And this, and then open a door pops, and there's my brother saying, I saw you coming down the hall, Kevin, get in here. And when someone opens an entrance to you and says, this is the way, walk you in it, you go in there, and it's like, oh, I'm glad someone opened the right door for me. That's what God wants to do. And we can make it happen, and we can waste our life trying all the other doors, or we can wait on the Lord. You know, Sarah said in Genesis 21:6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. If you remember, God had said, you're going to have a child, and she laughed in unbelief. And it was years until, I mean, she went and got old, like 99 or something, or 90, and she finally popped this kid out. And anyway, sorry, ladies, I know it's not that easy. But although I talked to someone last week that sat down to use the bathroom and the child came out. Anyway, we're not gonna laugh.
I don't know if I can get rid of that image today.
I'm telling you, I'm not even gonna. He went into detail because she called her husband, get in here. But anyway, the baby was fine. But Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. So when God put it back on Sarah and said, hello, let me have my way. And it was an entrance to joy. Joseph was traumatized in his childhood, absolutely traumatized by his brothers, sold into slavery eventually, horrible, went from bad to worse to worse to worse to worse. And then things are starting to pick up, and he has a child named Manasseh, says, God hath made me forget my toil and labor that's in the house of my brother. This is what he said to his dad when he opened up an entrance to joy to his dad, Jacob. He said, come to Egypt. He said, haste ye, go up to my father. This is a message that his brothers were sent with, saying to him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. So God hath made me Lord. In other words, the head of this whole mess. They sold me to Egypt, and I am head, second in command, of Egypt. Hello, that's what God does. Let me just tell you, I'm like that lady that I talked to was counseling, who said, I am just, you know, kind of slow. I'm on the slow boat to China. It's not going very quick. And I was trying to encourage her to, you know, just give your vulnerabilities to God. Let God do what only He can do. Stop trying to open every door, because some of the doors you open are going to be a Pandora's box, and you'll spend about 5 years, like Sarah, who opened the door to Hagar. You'll spend all those years messing around with an Ishmael, and when it's time really to finally say, okay, God, you do it, and God then sends, you know, opens the door of joy and says, you gonna laugh now? Yes, I'm gonna really laugh.
Wow, that's good, brother. I remember in the front of my Bible, I have written these words in one of my Bibles. I don't have it in the current one, but a smile, a little poem, it's anonymous, but it goes, a smile, it needs so little sympathy to cheer a weary way. Sometimes a little kindness lights up a dreary day. A very simple, friendly word may hope and strength impact, or just an understanding smile revives some fainting heart.
Yep.
And like a sudden sunlit ray, lightning a darkened room. A sunny spirit may beguile the deepest depths of gloom. And folks, so, you know, joy is not only about what you get. Joy is about what you give. And I think that we need to remember that. I think that we need to remember that we're givers. We're not just takers. We do enjoy the joy. But when we're joyful, we pass it on to others. That smile, that glance at the supermarket where you smile at somebody who may not be having a great day. That $10 bill I gave at Walmart the other day to help a woman pay for her groceries with a smile. Don't worry about it. You don't need my name. You know, those types of things can completely change lives. And God wants us to be joyful. And right after the break, we're going in just a second. Let the radio stations do what they got to do. We're going to continue on with this. So hang with us. We'll be right back with you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, we continue on with the parable of the talents, and we find ourselves in the book of Matthew 25, exegetical verse by verse. We're looking at end times. We're looking at the Olivet Discourse. The Lord is still preaching to us thousands of years later. He's still teaching us about end times, eschatology. And it says, after a long time in verse number 5, in 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents and came and brought him the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into joy of the Lord. He also that have received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents more beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So enter in the joy of the Lord. It does include that risk and reward. It does include accountability. It does include personal responsibility. It does include being vigilant, being watchful, having that type of responsibility. So the master returns after a long absence, and he's there settling his account with them, and he's happy, right? The servant who had, I mean, he's telling, so we're looking at these guys who did some things, and obviously when we come back Monday, we'll be looking in the other direction, but here he is. Listen, I trusted you a little, and you deserve it. I'm willing to invest more into you, and folks, God always wants to invest in us. He wants to invest into the gifts he gives us. He wants to invest into the money he gives us. Our family, our first bill every month is tithing. Our second bill is given to missions. We're doing what we can do, you know, and we want to keep that going. We want to trust what God has given us and what he gives through us, and we want to be sacrificial and learn these lessons. And similarly, the servant, you know, if you're looking at these, right, a similar set of circumstances. The guy got 2 talents, but he still went out and made 2 talents. So he was as good as the first guy. So some points to ponder as we look at these things is, hey, both of these servants were recognized for being faithful. Both of these servants were recognized for doing stewardship the right way. Both of these servants were recognized, you know, hey, God values our efforts for his kingdom's folk. That's what I'm trying to get to. God values our efforts. Hey, they don't go without God looking at them. God knows exactly what he's doing, what we're doing. He sees us. He's the God who sees us. He's the God who hears us, and he knows what's going on, and his reward corresponds to our faithfulness. And folks, I've seen that over and over again. You want great reward in your family. You want great reward in your ministry. You want great reward in your life. Well, it corresponds to how faithful you are and how much you trust him, and persevering when the days are long and when people are knuckleheads and when you work with total knuckleheads and when you live around total knuckleheads. Hey, been there, You know, everybody raised a hand that worked for knuckleheads before. I want you to know that every hand around the world, 434 different places right now, are raising different hands and saying, hey, I've been there. You know, over 70 countries are listening to this broadcast right now, and hands are in the air. The master's response emphasizes the principle here of faithful stewardship leads to increased responsibility and trust. You want God to trust you. You want to make a difference in your life, be trustworthy. You want God to trust in your responsibility, make you more responsible, and grow you. Just trust him. Just step out. Boy, there's reward out there, Kevin, when we trust him.
Yeah. Well, this principle is covered in several parables. And the parable of the talents is very similar to another one where he says, if thou hast been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, how will he commit to you true riches? And he talks in another place about the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light because of the slothful servant that did not, you know, just sat around and didn't try to work with people and to get them to pay the master for his things. And anyway, the faithfulness and so forth deals with our handling of the little stuff. And the sooner, Doug, I learned that there's a God in heaven. He's the audience. The preacher's not the audience. The church is not the audience. The boss is not the audience. The Bible says don't do things with eye service, talking about employment. But, you know, we should recognize the one watching, the we're managers of something pretty big. And the sooner we recognize that the owner is going to call the manager into account, the owner is watching, and he's looking at little stuff. Yeah. You know, I heard about Booker T. Washington up from slavery. He was a slave, and they were set free in the Emancipation Proclamation. They went north from down south. They went up into, I think, West Virginia. And he really, really wanted to learn how to read. And his dad's like, that's bad, man. You get book fever. That's a bad thing. And so he said, I really want to. So he saved his money to go to school. And he was just getting ready to leave to Hampton Institute in Hampton, Virginia, and just getting ready to go there. He saved his money, and his dad met him on the way on his journey to Virginia, to Hampton. And the dad met him at the train station or something and said, your mom's sick. And the son said, you need the money, don't you? Yeah, I'm sorry. So he gave his dad his money. And he went to Hampton Institute with like a nickel. And he showed up for registration. And he said, I've got a nickel here, and I'm here to go to school. The headmaster lady, the registrar, said, one does not just appear. You've got to have pre-registered. You've got to have been accepted. And step aside. By the way, how much money do you have? I've got a nickel. And okay, stand over there. And after a while, she said, here's a broom. Go to the adjoining recitation room and sweep it. And he did that. And he, at first, was so discouraged, he just stared at the room. He could not believe he had been turned down. Instead, after a while, something came into his gizzard, and he said, I'm going to clean this place better than it's ever been cleaned. He cleaned everything. She came in with a white glove, the registrar, and went over the door frames and stuff and said, And then she said one thing. Booker, he that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. You will do, Booker. You and your 5 cents are accepted at Hampton Institute. He went off and excelled and became the great Booker T. Washington.
Amen.
That we hopefully have all heard about. And that's what our God does. Our God looks down from heaven. Life's going pretty bad for you, I know. But guess what? You may not have much, but I'm watching what you do with that little much, and I'm giving you this little job, and the way you treat that job is going to be the way you treat what I give you. And when you show up or when you show out that you're faithful, I'm going to be able to visit you with your nice car, your great husband, your great wife, your great opportunity. I'm going to bless you just because of the way you're just faithful to that little stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember former president of Tyndale University, Joseph McCauley. Joseph McCauley took a whole troop over to the Biltmore, the beautiful estate located in Asheville, North Carolina, a bunch of college students. They went into one of the greatest mansions and located within the United States of America. And he brought all the students out and they looked through that. And on the way back, as they were being bused, and McCauley was the longtime president, it was 15 years there as the president, and students all got in the bus, and he was worried that these had all committed to missions. Tyndale is a school of the Bible and missions. And as they returned to the summer conference ground, they started singing this song: "When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high." McCauley thought to himself, those people who own the Biltmore are so poor compared to these folks. Hey, we'll see you next Monday. May God bless you, and we'll look forward to being together. Take care.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.